Chapter 64. Yes, apostrophe, replied the woman. With the children? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. We have to get together for warmth. We have little to cover us. Apostrophe, have you nothing by you to eat but the piece of bread I see there? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing. And we had the rest of the loaf for our breakfast, with water. I don't know what's to come of it. Apostrophe, have you no prospect of improvement? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if my eldest son earns anything today, he'll bring it home. Then we shall have something to eat tonight, and may be able to do something towards the rent. If not, I don't know what's to come of it. Apostrophe, this is a sad state of things. Apostrophe, yes, sir, it's a hard, hard life. Take care of the stairs as you go, sir, they're broken, and good day, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, these people had a mortal dread of entering the workhouse, and received no out-of-door relief. In another room, in still another tenement, I found a very decent woman with 5 children, the last a baby, and she herself a patient of the parish doctor, to whom, her husband being in the hospital, the union allowed for the support of herself and family, 4 shillings a week and 5 loaves. I suppose when Thisman, M.P., and Thatman, M.P. and the public blessing party lay their heads together in course of time, and come to an equalization of rating, she may go down to the dance of death to the tune of 6 pence more. I could enter no other houses for that one while, for I could not bear the contemplation of the children. Such heart as I had summoned to sustain me against the miseries of the adults, failed me when I looked at the children. I saw how young they were, how hungry, how serious and still. I thought of them, sick and dying in those lairs. I think of them dead without anguish, but to think of them, so suffering and so dying, quite unmanned me. Down by the river's bank in Ratcliffe, I was turning upward by a side street, therefore, to regain the railway, when my eyes rested on the inscription across the road, East London Children's Hospital. Apostrophe, I could scarcely have seen an inscription better suited to my frame of mind, and I went across, and went straight in. I found the Children's Hospital established in an old sail lofter storehouse, of the roughest nature, and on the simplest means. There were trapdoors in the floors, where goods had been hoisted up and down. Heavy feet and heavy weights had started every knot in the well-trodden planking. Inconvenient bulks and beams and awkward staircases perplexed my passage through the wards. But I found it airy, sweet, and clean. In its 37 beds I saw but little beauty, for starvation in the second or third generation takes a pinched look. But I saw the sufferings both of infancy and childhood tenderly assuaged. I heard the little patients answering to pet playful names, the light touch of a delicate lady laid bare the wasted sticks of arms for me to pity, and the claw-like little hands, as she did so, twined themselves lovingly around her wedding ring. One baby mite there was as pretty as any of Raffles' angels. The tiny head was bandaged for water on the brain, and it was suffering with acute bronchitis too, and made from time to time a plaintive, though not impatient or complaining, little sound. The smooth curve of the cheeks, and of the chin, was faultless in its condensation of infantine beauty, and the large bright eyes were most lovely. It happened as I stopped at the foot of the bed, that these eyes rested upon mine with that wistful expression of wondering thoughtfulness which we all know sometimes in very little children. They remained fixed on mine, and never turned from me, while I stood there. When the utterance of that plaintive sound shook the little form, the gaze still remained unchanged. I felt as though the child implored me to tell the story of the little hospital in which it was sheltered to any gentle heart I could address. Laying my world-worn hand upon the little unmarked clasped hand at the chin, I gave it a silent promise that I would do so. A gentleman and lady, a young husband and wife, have bought and fitted up this building for its present noble use, and have quietly settled themselves in it as its medical officers and directors. Both have had considerable practical experience of medicine and surgery. He as house surgeon of a great London hospital. She as a very earnest student, tested by severe examination, and also as a nurse of the sick poor during the prevalence of cholera. With every qualification to lure them away, with youth and accomplishments and tastes and habits that can have no response in any breast near them, close begirt by every repulsive circumstance inseparable from such a neighborhood, there they dwell. They live in the hospital itself, and their rooms are on its first floor. Sitting at their dinner table, they could hear the cry of one of the children in pain. The lady's piano, drawing materials, books, and other such evidences of refinement are as much a part of the rough place as the iron bedsteads of the little patients. They are put to shifts for room, like passengers on board ship. The dispenser of medicines, attracted to them not by self-interest, but by their own magnetism and that of their cause, sleeps in a recess in the dining room, and has his washing apparatus in the sideboard. Their contented manner of making the best of the things around them, I found so pleasantly inseparable from their usefulness. Their pride in this partition, that we put up ourselves, or in that partition, that we took down, or in that other partition that we moved, or in the stove, that was given us for the waiting room, or in our nightly conversion of the little consulting room into a smoking room. Their admiration of the situation, if we could only get rid of its one objectionable incident, the coal yard at the back. Our hospital carriage, presented by a friend, and very useful. Apostrophe that was my presentation to a perambulator, for which a coach house had been discovered in a corner downstairs, just large enough to hold it. Colored prints, in all stages of preparation for being added to those already decorating the wards, were plentiful. A charming wooden phenomenon of a bird, with an impossible top knot, who ducked his head, when you set a counterweight going, had been inaugurated as a public statue that very morning, and trotting about among the beds, on familiar terms with all the patients, was a comical mongrel dog, called Poodles. This comical dog, quite a tonic in himself, was found characteristically starving at the door of the institution, and was taken in and fed, and has lived here ever since. An admirer of his mental endowments, has presented him with a collar bearing the legend, "Judge not poodles by external appearances." Apostrophe he was merrily wagging his tail on a boy's pillow, when he made this modest appeal to me. When this hospital was first opened, in January of the present year, the people could not possibly conceive, but that somebody paid for the services rendered there, and were disposed to claim them as a right, and to find fault, if out of temper. They soon came to understand the case better, and have much interest in gratitude. The mothers of the patients avail themselves very freely of the visiting rules, the fathers often on Sundays. There is an unreasonable, but still, I think, touching and intelligible, tendency in the parents, to take a child away to its wretched home, if on the point of death. One boy who had been thus carried off on a rainy night, when in a violent state of inflammation, and who had been afterwards brought back, had been recovered with exceeding difficulty. But he was a jolly boy, with a specially strong interest in his dinner, when I saw him. Insufficient food and unwholesome living are the main causes of disease among these small patients. So nourishment, cleanliness, and ventilation are the main remedies. Discharged patients are looked after, and invited to come, and dine now and then. So are certain famishing creatures who were never patients. Both the lady and the gentleman are well acquainted, not only with the histories of the patients and their families, but with the characters and circumstances of great numbers of their neighbors. Of these they keep a register. It is their common experience, that people, sinking down by inches into deeper and deeper poverty, will conceal it, even from them, if possible, unto the very last extremity. The nurses of this hospital are all young, ranging, say, from 19 to 4 and 20. They have even within these narrow limits, what many well-endowed hospitals would not give them, a comfortable room of their own in which to take their meals. It is a beautiful truth, that interest in the children and sympathy with their sorrows bind these young women to their places far more strongly than any other consideration could. The best skilled of the nurses came originally from a kindred neighborhood, almost as poor, and she knew how much the work was needed. She is a fair dressmaker. The hospital cannot pay her as many pounds in the year as there are months in it, and one day the lady regarded it as a duty to speak to her about her improving her prospects and following her trade. No, apostrophe, she said. She could never be so useful or so happy elsewhere anymore. She must stay among the children. And she stays. One of the nurses, as I passed her, was washing a baby boy. Liking her pleasant face, I stopped to speak to her charge, a common, bullet-headed, frowning charge enough, laying hold of his own nose with a slippery grasp, and staring very solemnly out of a blanket. The melting of the pleasant face in two delighted smiles, as this young gentleman gave an unexpected kick, and laughed at me, was almost worth my previous pain. An affecting play was acted in Paris years ago, called The Children's Doctor. Apostrophe, as I parted from my children's doctor, now in question, I saw in his easy black necktie, in his loose buttoned black frock coat, in his pensive face, in the flow of his dark hair, in his eyelashes, in the very turn of his mustache, the exact realization of the Paris artist's ideal as it was presented on the stage. But no romancer that I know of has had the boldness to prefigure the life and home of this young husband and young wife in the Children's Hospital in the east of London. I came away from Ratcliffe by the Stepney railway station to the terminus at Fenchurch Street. Anyone who will reverse that route may retrace my steps. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.